Welcome to another edition of Nima Parvini versus Right-Wing Ideas. I am Nima Parvini, and today I'm going to be talking about nationalism and why I've never, in all these years, ever once referred to myself as a nationalist. I have here a book by John Mearsheimer called The Tragedy of Great Power Politics. Note that he doesn't call it Tragedy of Power Politics Between Nations. That is because all of the powers he considers in this book were or are empires. All of these books I have behind me are the histories of empires. Because the history of the world is the history of empires. Before I get going here, pick up a course at the academic agency. Promo code Shredder gets you 25% off all courses. I'll play the ad, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about nationhood and empire. It's promo code Shredder. World-class education denied to you by school, denied to you by woke university. Well, no more. Pick up your course today. 25% off all courses with promo code Shredder. That's Shredder. Buy it now. So like I was saying, the history of the world is the history of empires, and as such, nationalism in the abstract, I believe, is utopian and unrealistic. And I've developed this view over many years. I've listened to a great many self-avowed nationalists, white nationalists, and so on, and it strikes me that their view is unrealistic. For example, what does it mean to be a Belgian nationalist? What does it mean to be a nationalist for any small nation? I would argue that today you can only really be a nationalist for the American Empire, which basically means being a neocon. You can be a nationalist for the Russian Empire, which means, you know, supporting Putin. You can be a nationalist for the Chinese Empire, which means getting behind the Communist Party of China. But all the other states really do not have a realistic right to nationalism. Any quote-unquote nationalism is afforded by another great power, such as, I would argue, Ukrainian nationalism. This is clearly funded and fostered by NATO against Russia. Or Israeli nationalism, which is almost entirely propped up by American power. Or Polish nationalism, which again is propped up by American power. It is kind of allowed as a frontier country against the encroachment of Russia. Or Taiwanese nationalism as a kind of bulwark against China. All of these are afforded by the US. During the Cold War, the USA and indeed the USSR funded many different nationalist uprisings against the old European imperialist powers. The old European empires were on the back foot, they were on the decline, and the newly emerging empires, Russia and America, were funding nationalist movements against the old empires. I think the US backed over 20 such movements, according to this chap, Ryan Griffiths. Over 20 nationalist movements during the Cold War funded by America against the imperial powers. In America, obviously, in the Soviet case, obviously, it came with, you know, a kind of communist flavour. Although the communists also used nationalism for their cause, as Stalin did, as Mao did, Ho Chi Minh did in the Vietnam War against the Americans, which again really was a battle against the old European powers, in that case, the French Empire. So, yeah, so you can see that nationalism as a bottom-up sentiment, I wouldn't say it's a delusion. I would say people do feel nationalistic. They do feel pride in their country. But often that is indulged or that is played on by elites for a specific purpose and a wider geostrategic purpose. Okay, your nationalism is probably the pawn of some other power trying to do something most of the time. Even in the case of Iran, for example, Iran has tried to kind of go it alone against the great Satan and against the little Satan, Israel, okay? But in the process, it has found itself folded into Russian power and Chinese power. So it still ends up being an imperial pawn in a greater chess game. This is really the history of nationalism proper, when properly considered. Soviet and US covert regime changes during the period of decolonization, post-colonial period of the Cold War, they funded 64 covert regime changes between them in a very short space of time. Many of them were overtly nationalist movements. And, you know, the Ukraine example is, you know, they've given billions upon billions, $175 billion since 2022 given to Ukraine. Russians have given lots of money to some of their proxy forces around the world as well. So, yeah, I mean, in such a case, in such a situation, that's the actual reality of things. What is your nationalism? Your nationalism is a ploy. You're basically being played by somebody else. This is why during the whole Russia-Ukraine thing, which is still ongoing, I was always reluctant to kind of come down on the Ukrainian cause, because it's obvious it's being propped up. It's obvious that it's, you know, a stratagem by empire. Okay, now you could say, well, as some people do, as Richard Spencer has, what he's just supports the NATO empire. He supports that. He thinks that's good. You know, I'm more ambivalent about the current empire than him. But I'm realistic to know that the kind of romantic nationalism that is trying to be G'd up in the Ukrainian cause is a play. It's another pro wrestling scenario where you're being played. If you have a look between 1946 and 2000, America has intervened 81 times in foreign elections. That is, other countries are trying to have democratic elections and America doesn't like the outcome that the people are going to vote for, so they intervene to ensure that the force that they want wins. 81 times between 1946 and 2000. Now, if your government literally has come about due to a foreign intervention by the American Empire, can you really be a nationalist for that nation? You're just a vassal state. And this is one of the reasons why I've been at pains to try to demonstrate to people that Britain is a vassal of the American Empire. So in some ways, it's a nonsense to think about British interests separate from the role it plays within the greater American Empire, just in the interest of realism. This is something clearly that Tony Blair understands, something a lot of you understand. But the practical reality is you're not going to be able to bust out of it through nationalism unless your nationalism gets an even more powerful backer. But then Britain is reduced to the status of one of these pawn nations. And I actually think it's going on right now. I think the Civil War narrative is being pushed by foreign powers. I've said this before. And they'll use your genuine nationalist sentiment for their ends. Actually happening right now. Actually happening. I've been watching it happen. I've commented on it. You can go back and watch those videos. That's really what is happening. Foreign actors are trying to foment civil conflict in the UK. They realise there are fissures. They realise there are real issues. And they think they can profit off the genuine anger of British patriots at this moment. probably work too. Nationalism is a very strong motivating force. When the state runs out of options, it always turns to nationalism, always, as a final resort. All communists, in their writings, admit that nationalism is a stronger driver to drive people to pick up a gun and die or fight than communism in the abstract. James Burnham, in The Managerial Revolution, talks about how during the early phases of World War II, the Germans had no problem getting people enlisted. They had no problem with volunteers because people wanted to fight for the fatherland. British establishment, French establishment, and American establishment had trouble recruiting in a time of mass unemployment. Why? Because people were not motivated to fight for abstract notions like liberty or justice or capitalism or, you know, whatever else, whatever other slogans they threw at them. They weren't strong, whereas nationalism was strong. That's why Stalin had to move to nationalism to get Russians motivated to fight that war. Every leader ultimately knows this. So it's from the elite point of view, it's powerful to get plebs to do what you want them to do. Okay? But the zoom out a little bit and you'll see that unless you're a powerful empire in and of yourself, it's almost pointless to be a nationalist. It's almost pointless because you're never gonna escape the raw reality of this. What's the best that you can hope for, really? The best you can hope for, as I've talked about, is a devolved, self-governed unit, something like that, which may be organized along ethnic lines, maybe. In the current setup, if the elites decided, right, well, rather than try to have this forced integration model, which is never going to work, we're actually going to do multiculturalism in the manner of the old millet system, right? There's a black area with a black tribal leader. There's a white area with a white tribal leader. There's an Indian area with an Indian tribal leader. They all report in to the sovereign, right? To the sultan. But whatever goes on in those areas, in those enclaves, is up to the local leader. They haven't done that as of yet. Okay, maybe at some point in the future they will, because that's a model like I've talked about that can endure for hundreds of years. Whereas what we're doing now doesn't really endure, as we're seeing, it kind of falls apart. Because at the moment what they're doing is they're kind of favouring, or they have been favouring, minority groups over the majority, and that's kind of not a recipe that lasts. All right, I think that'll do on nationalism. I've kind of said this quite a few times before. This is just one video where I'm putting all these ideas in one place. Let me know what you think. I don't want to know about ideological pushback. I want to know about practical, realistic pushback on these things. What are some times where nationalism, without the backing of some foreign power, has won out against empire? You tell me. I couldn't find any when I was looking. You could say, well, Vietnam, but in Vietnam, clearly they have the backing of the communist powers. So it's not a good example. What you need to find is times in history where just like sheer nationalism has won out. Okay. Now you could argue that Germany has some cases like the Prussian Empire, right? But it's already in it. It's already tries to be an empire. And even the Third Reich tries to be an empire. And of course they lost. Ultimately they lost twice. So that's also really important. You can say, well, it doesn't matter that they lost. Well, it doesn't matter to the ideology, but it does matter if we are being realist and determining things by outcome, by what actually happens when the results are in. This is how we judge football. This is how we judge Jose Mourinho, right? His results were fantastic. He was unbeaten you know, brilliant. But then results weren't going his way and he was judged accordingly and he was fired from successive jobs. Right? As it is in that world, so it is in political systems. We have to judge things by what actually happens. So, I'd love to know what some comeback on this is. I'm being deliberately a little bit provocative in this series as I sidle over to the centre-left. But I also feel that it's important to question these things at this time, because these ideas are kind of all in the air. They're kind of talked about, they're joked about, they're bounced around, people meme them, they're, you know, vibes-based, like I said, slop brain, like I said. But who actually sits down and thinks about them? Who asks some of these questions? If they have done it, I haven't seen it. All right. Pick up a course at the Academic Agency. Promo code Shredder gets you 25% off. And I'll see you tomorrow.
If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.